Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio, and today on Route 51, we look at an ambitious project that could make Wausau and central Wisconsin the curling capital of the world. As we speak, plans are going forward for a new state-of-the-art Wausau Curling Center, a multi-million dollar, 40,000-square-foot building, which will be the largest curling-specific facility in the United States and will house 8 regulation Olympic sheets. With us today to discuss the project and talk about this unique part of Wisconsin's heritage are Corey Sandquist, he's the president of the Wausau Curling Club, and Cal Tillich, the club's fundraising and building committee chair. We also have with us a very special guest, Debbie McCormick, 3-time Olympic champion and the captain of the U.S. Women's Olympic Curling Team. Debbie is in Wausau to promote the sport of curling and also to raise awareness about the building project. We'd like to hear from you. If you're excited about the new curling center, if you've got questions about it, if you think this will be a boost to the regional economy, if you love the sport of curling, or maybe, just maybe, you don't get it, this business of using brooms to propel a stone across a sheet of ice, one way or the other, we'd like to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That number again is 1-800-780-9742. Corey, since you're the president of the club, why don't you tell us about the project?
Well, we're going to get started on building this state-of-the-art, finest curling facility next spring, as soon as the frost is out of the ground. And we hope to be up and running by November, beginning of the curling season next year. It's an exciting project. We've got we're in process of fundraising right now, and everything's going along great.
So you're confident it's going to go forward. How close are you to reaching your goal, and what is the goal?
Well, we've our budget for the project is $3 million, and presently we have $2.3 million committed to this point. And so everything's progressing nicely.
Is all of this coming from private individual sources, or did you get some bundles of money coming in from from larger donors? And Cal, you're running the fundraising drive, so why don't you take that one?
Certainly had some significant donors behind us because they understand the impact of this facility, not only for the Wausau area, but for Wisconsin in general, and really the nation. I mean, this is going to be the finest curling facility in the United States. We've had some very big contributions from some major foundations locally, the B.A. and Esther Greenheck Foundation, the Judd Alexander Foundation, the Walter Alexander Foundation, the Dudley Foundation, Dwight and Linda Davis Foundation, the Community Foundation of Central Wisconsin, along with some very generous individuals.
Well, since we're talking about money, let's get that information out right away. I understand that you are using the Community Foundation in order to help you raise funds?
Yes, they're our fiscal sponsor, and money gets collected through them. So they've not only donated to us, but they're collecting money for us as well.
And the website there, I've got it written down. It's www.cfonCW.org. That stands for Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin, cfonCW.org. And if they want to find out more about the Wausau Curling Club, then they can get more information on the project?
Yes, absolutely.
They can. You've got a website, too?
Yes, and that's wausaucurling.org.
Wausaucurling.org. Where is this facility going to be located?
It's going to be located, for those folks who know Wausau, just off Grand Avenue, off Kent Street. And there's a couple landmarks people might know there. It's near the Old Humane Society, and it's also near the old Holtz-Krause landfill. And we had some land donated to us so we could go forward with this project. And we also want to try to work in synergy with the folks who are trying to develop the old Holtz-Krause landfill into soccer fields, kind of build the front door, if you will.
How busy is this facility going to be? Do you worry about traffic getting in and out of it?
I think we can handle the traffic and without a problem.
Why do you think this is needed? You folks have been using the rinks in Marathon Park for years. Why do you need something like this?
Well, we've had a great working relationship with the county for the past 60 to 70 years, and Marathon Park has been very good to us. But our facilities, our infrastructure, our compressors, have just outgrown their useful life. And we also have a lot of unmet need as far as high school curling and ice time. We've got 150 kids, boys and girls, from Wausau East, Wausau West, and DC Everest. And there's a huge unmet need for more ice time. And this age sheet facility will effectively double the high school ice time. And
how many sheets do you have in Marathon Park right now?
Presently we have 5, and we will be expanding to 8. Now, I say double because sheets are going to be available in the evenings that are not presently available. So we will have a couple sheets available in the evenings, allowing more youth and high school practice time.
And when you run Bonspiels, which is the curling term for a curling tournament, you run it all during the day, so you can imagine it's kind of a multiplier effect. When you have more sheets of ice available at each time during the tournament, you can have a lot bigger participation. Wausau has been the host of the largest high school Bonspiel in the nation for about the last 60 years. It's called the TG High School Bonspiel, and there's people who can't participate in it now because we don't have enough ice availability. Same thing with the high school state curling championships. Creating more ice allows more participation.
But 40,000 square feet, $3 million, 8 curling sheets, is there really that much interest in this sport to sustain that kind of a facility?
It's been consistently growing throughout the years. When I was in high school in the 80s, we were able to, had about 16 to 18 boys and girls on the high school curling team, and now East this year started with 70 kids. So it's a growing sport, and the Olympics has brought a big attention to our sport, and it's continued to grow dramatically in the last few years.
Well, that's a wonderful segue. Speaking of the Olympics, Debbie McCormick, what do you think of the plans for this facility?
You know, I'm really excited for Wausau and the curling community. I'm still currently competing in curling. And when my curling team and I look at going to tournaments for training, one of the main things we look at is caliber of competition. You know, we want to play the best teams. That's how we're going to improve. We also, secondly, we look at the caliber of, like, the ice conditions. We want to play on the best ice as possible. That's going to help us grow as a team, learn strategy. And Wausau, building this brand-new facility, has the opportunity to host international curling tournaments. Hopefully, possibly be the training center for Olympic teams. For 2010, we trained at the Green Bay Curling Club, and it's a great facility, 3 curling sheets, but to have 8 curling sheets available to the team that's going to be the Olympic team, to have a room set aside that we can look at video of ourselves, who will be playing, look at video, talk strategy, to have a beautiful locker room. I mean, it means a lot to an athlete to have space. You'll be able to have media in there,
yeah,
mix zones. Everything, a professional curler would look for will be in this facility.
So you're saying Wausau could become the Olympic, the U.S. Olympic curling training center.
Definitely.
With this facility.
Definitely.
How likely do you see that as happening?
Very likely. Very likely. And that's why I'm so excited about it and happy to help promote. Because, you know, they'll be attracting top athletes in curling from possibly all over the world, having international teams.
The name Wausau, the original Indian name, meant faraway place. It sounds like Wausau is becoming less and less of a faraway place all of the time.
Well, and especially with curling, because curling became an Olympic sport back in the 90s. And since then, every Olympian that has represented the United States in the sport of curling has come from the states of Northern Illinois, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. And if you put them all on a map and put little pins on a map and drew a circle, the center of where all the Olympic curlers have come from is essentially Wausau, Wisconsin. So it's a natural geographic location to do that type of thing.
And you've also got the in Stevens Point, it's the U.S. Curling Association. You've got their world headquarters there, correct?
Correct. Again, because it's roughly the geographic center of curling.
Yeah, it's going to be a perfect location to hold these tournaments and to hold, maybe even the Olympic trials someday or a junior world championships. Definitely large enough. Excuse me. Definitely large enough and would be a great facility to have the training center for the Olympics.
What kind? Go on, Corey. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's. It's not too often that a community like WAS is able to say that we have the best of something. I think we can say that in our Birds and Art Museum. I think we can say that in our kayak course. But to truly say that we have the best is pretty unique and pretty special and exciting.
And it's one of the reasons why we've gotten such community support from foundations and major individuals, because they look at this not only as adding to the quality of life locally, where you've got high schools and senior people and people of all walks of life and all ages on a daily basis using it, but the ability to attract these large events, both statewide, regional, national, and international.
And what is the economic impact going to be to the city of Wausau? Has anybody figured that out yet? Has the chamber run any numbers or McDevco?
They've run a few numbers. I can't tell you exactly what they all are, but it allows you to draw major events. And I'll give you an example: the Badger State Games, for instance. Curling was one of the original five sports in the Badger State Games. When the Badger State Games started in Wausau, there were five sports that kind of spearheaded that movement, if you will, and curling was one of the original five. We've obviously hosted the Badger State Games ever since, and for those of you who followed that story, it's...
We're hosting them again, aren't we?
We're back hosting them. It's been a little bit of a rocky road, but we're back hosting them. But with this facility and these extra sheets of ice, we've got the ability, and people have run numbers on the economic impact of the Badger State Games. We've got the ability to roughly double the participation on the curling side, as well as add events. And one of the ones that I think is really exciting is what we call a wheelchair curling, or they kind of call them wheelies is the nickname. Wheelchair curling is a Paralympic sport. And when the Winter Olympics are done, they take people in wheelchairs out there to curl.
They take people in wheelchairs out on the ice?
I know.
How do they do that, Cal? I can't even drive in a car on the ice, you know?
Again, these are athletes that they train. Wheelchair curlers don't use a kind of traditional slide delivery like we normally do in curling. They sit in a wheelchair and they have a stick, and so they deliver from their wheelchair. But they can do all of the strategies. Curling's oftentimes called chess on ice, because it's a real strategy game. I mean, I can teach you the fundamentals of curling in about a half an hour, but the strategies take years and years and years to develop. But even though they're in a wheelchair and they deliver the curling stone a little different, all the same strategies and all of those aspects of the game fully applied. And because that's developed, we have the opportunity and are building a facility that's going to be the most wheelchair accessible facility anywhere. It's totally designed to be able to accommodate that. So there's world championships and national championships in wheelchair curling. We also want to add it to the Badger State Games.
So this is really a sport that people of all ages and even all physical conditions can play. It's not like football or hockey or, to a great extent, baseball and basketball, where you've got to be kind of young and in really good physical shape to play it.
Yeah, it's like it's a lifetime sport. I mean, you can curl. You can start when you're 8 years old. You can curl up to you're 88 years old. And like you said, it's all body types. You don't have to be tall. You don't have to be, you know, super, super strong, athletic. And also, there's different levels. You can play recreationally, like your bowling league. You can play competitively. You can play mixed, so you can play with your significant other, your friends. And like Cal was saying and Corey was saying, you guys have the most high school curlers in, like, the nation. And I had the opportunity to work with them on Monday and Wednesday, and it was fantastic. It's a great group of kids, and it's super exciting to see them excited about the sport. And I myself curled through high school. We didn't have a high school program like Wausau did, but I still curled through my high school career, and there's still so many great opportunities out there for young adults. I've traveled the world. I've been to Asia, Europe, all over Canada and the United States, and these kids, if they stick with it, will have the same opportunities.
Debbie McCormick, she's a three-time Olympian, 1998, 2002, 2010, world champion in 2003, seven times representing the USA at the World Championships, captain of the U.S. Women's Olympic team. She is in Wausau today to promote the sport of curling and also to bring attention to this 40,000 square foot, $3 million World Curling Center, world-class curling center that could turn Wausau into the curling capital of the world. Cal Tillish and Corey Sandquist of the Wausau Curling Club are with us. All we need is you. Give us a phone call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. If you're excited about this project, if you've got questions about it, or if you love the sport of curling, tell us why you love it. Tell us about the strategy and what's involved for those who are listening who know nothing about the sport but are wondering what it's all about, just trying to push the stone down a sheet of ice with brooms of all things. 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Rely Local Wausau, working to build the local economy and strengthen the community by making local business everybody's business. Learn more about locally owned and operated businesses at relylocal.com.
1-800-780-9742. We're talking about a world-class curling facility coming to Wausau with Debbie McCormick, three-time Olympic champion, and also Cal Tillish and Corey Sandquist of the Wausau Curling Club. Let's go to the phones, and we have Nora in Wausau. You're on Route 51. Hello, Nora.
Hi. I just wanted to call in and say that I was a curler in high school at Wausau East when it was Wausau East, Wausau West, and Medford that we played against, and live back in the area now, and I'm so excited that this is happening. We have young kids, and I love that this can be a family sport and that I'll be able to introduce my kids to curling and have this right in the neighborhood.
You know, thank you for that comment, and the concept of a family sport is really true. We have dads who curl with their sons or dads who curl with their daughters, families that curl together. I mean, it really is a sport for all ages and all abilities, and it's pretty neat. I mean, it really is a neat aspect that way. And I always like to tell people that curling, it's not a size and strength sport, okay? It's more like chipping or putting in golf, where it's more of a touch and a finesse type sport. So you
technique.
Can, yeah, so you can take, you know, a big, strong guy does not have an inherent advantage in this sport over somebody of smaller stature. And that's one of the reasons it works so well as a family sport or a mixed gender sport where you can have both males and females or boys and girls on the same team.
Debbie, do you have anything you'd like to say to Nora?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Nora. And that's how I started curling. My mom and dad curled, so my brother and I kind of hung out at the Madison Curling Club growing up, and eventually we started curling, and I have still great memories of curling in family bonspiels, family tournaments with my brother, my dad, and my mom. And my dad's been my coach. He was our coach at the last Olympics and 2003 World Championships, and he still curls. And
wonderful. We watch
you. Yeah, so get them involved, definitely.
No, Nora, you've watched Debbie McCormick.
Yes. And we watched the Olympic curlers and cheer with all our might when other people were wondering what it was when it was first coming about. We were very excited to share that with them.
Well, thanks so much for your support. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Nora. And let's go back to the phones with Bill in Wakefield. Bill, you're on Route 51.
Oh, thank you. I just wanted to give a great shout-out to Debbie. I used to work with her at Home Depot.
How you doing?
My name is Bill in the garden. I don't know if you recall me, but you're definitely a great inspiration to a lot of people.
Well, thank you. And Home Depot had a great Olympic job opportunities program that I was a part of for a good 8 years. So I really enjoyed working at Home Depot. Thanks for calling in.
Good luck, and it's great to see someone local, and it's very inspiring to all people. So congratulations, and keep up the good work.
Thank you,
Bill. Are you a big curling fan?
I started watching it, I guess, when she was involved with it, because it was kind of felt really connected. You know, it was cool to have an Olympic athlete, on your co-side. And it's very an interesting sport. I mean, it's something very kind of different, but it kind of grows on you as you actually, watch it.
Yeah, a lot of people say they're watching curling and they're just going to watch it for 10 minutes and they end up watching it for 2 hours. It kind of sucks you in just because of the strategy.
Bill, thanks so much for the phone call. And again, this is Cal. This is what you were saying. Sport has definitely been growing since it started becoming part of the Olympic trials.
Prior to the Olympics, curling was mostly, it was Canada, the United States, and what you would think of as kind of the European countries that have winter sports, the Scandinavian countries and Italy and Switzerland and the places where you think of that have winter sports. And after it became an Olympic sport, it just exploded. And I think we were talking, there was something like maybe, how many countries, Debbie, did you say?
I think there's around 60, probably 60 to 80 countries that curl now.
And I think some good examples of, you've curled against these teams.
You got to hold that thought because I just looked at the time and we've got a newscast coming up in 10 seconds here. But we are talking about Wausau becoming the curling capital of the world with Debbie McCormick, Olympic champion. Members of the Wausau Curling Club will be back with more after this news.
Support for WPR comes from UMR, a United Healthcare company providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More at umr.com.
We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network. I'm Glenn Moberg, and the subject today is curling and specifically plans to make Wausau the curling capital of the world, a 40,000 square foot, 8-sheet facility costing $3 million that will eventually, we are being told, host the U.S. Olympic team. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to talk to 3-time Olympian and the captain of the women's curling team, Debbie McCormick, and also Cal Tillish and Corey Sandquist of the Wausau Curling Club. 1-800-780-9742. Our lines are wide open right now. When we left the conversation, we were talking about how the Olympics has really taken this sport and spread its interest exponentially. And Debbie, there are so many different countries right now that have curling teams where the sport was never even played before.
Exactly. When I first started curling competitively, it was in the early 1990s. And it was mostly Canadian teams, European teams. Once the Olympics started, a lot of the Asian countries started getting involved, like Japan and China, South Korea. And now there's teams like Bulgaria, Australia, there's Lithuania. So it's grown so much. And there's European championships in Europe, all trying to get to the world championships. There's only 12 teams that are able to go out of all those countries. Mm-hmm. Only 12 countries make it. So it's very competitive. It's hard for even your country to qualify for these events. So it's very important for us to stay on top of our game.
How many ladies are involved with the women's curling in the Olympics?
Curling is a team sport. There's 4 athletes on each team, and we play on a sheet of ice that's about 142 feet long, about 15 feet wide, and we curl with solid granite curling stones. They weigh 42 pounds, so we actually don't pick them up like you would bowling. We use a starting block called a hack, and we slide the stones down the curling sheet. So there's 8 stones per team, and you alternate curling stones, delivering your stones with your opponents. So the 4 members of each curling team have their own positions. You have a lead that throws the first 2 curling stones of each end and ends like an inning. And then you have your second who will throw the 3rd and 4th stone. Your vice skip or your 3rd throws the 5th and 6th stone. And the captain of the team is called a skip, and they throw the 7th and 8th stone of each end.
So I can call you skip, and you wouldn't take offense at that?
Nope, you can call me skipper, skip.
Well, this sport seems so bizarre the first time you look at it. Propelling a 42-pound stone on a sheet of ice with brooms, for crying out loud, and you can't even touch the stone with the brooms. How does that work? What's the physics of it?
Yeah, the crazy thing about the brooms, it's a very important part of our game. We use the brooms when we deliver the curling stones for balance, and then we also sweep, it's called, when you're sweeping in front of the stone. And what that does is the brooms create friction on the ice and kind of heat up the ice. And if it's a draw shot, if you're trying to get your curling stone into the bullseye, by sweeping, you can, you know, you heat up the ice and you can allow the stone, help the stone travel 12 to 15 feet further. And for
takeouts,
you get
that much.
You do.
Just by this friction of rubbing the
broom. That's why
it's
so important. Because if you deliver your curling stone too fast or too hard, you can't slow it down because you can't touch it, obviously. So it's like.
So in order to get the accuracy you need, you have to do it kind of at a moderate speed or slow speed?
And that's why it's such a team sport. Because you basically want to, for a draw shot, you want to kind of give that stone to your sweepers. So the sweepers need to judge the how fast it's going or the weight of the stone. And they have to, you know, kind of decide if it needs to be swept or not.
This game has been described as a combination of shuffleboard, pool, golf, and chess on ice. Is that accurate?
It is. It's a lot like, you know, a lot of sports, but it's very unique into itself. It's a huge strategy sport and communication. The athletes on each team are communicating with each other as far as, like, the line, the trajectory of the stone, how fast it's going, you know, if it's on target or not on target. So you're kind of yelling at each other and communicating with each other is a big part of the game as well.
Cal Tillish, how old is this game, and where did he get its start?
Yeah, when you talk about it being a little bit of a bizarre, unusual game, and maybe that harkens back to where it started. Curling's been around for about 500 years. And the story is that about 500 years ago, one cold winter night in the country of Scotland, the Scots, some Scots finally figured out, they said, geez, we got these long, cold winters, and it gets kind of boring. I mean, we've now put our golf clubs away because, remember, Scotland is where...
Also where golf was invented.
Where golf was invented. And we put our golf clubs away, and we have these long, cold winters. It gets kind of boring. I mean, there's got to be something to do. What the heck are we going to do to make the winters more enjoyable? So they took some granite stones and went out to their frozen lakes or ponds, or lochs, as they call them in Scotland, and started sliding these granite stones on this frozen water, and that's how they created the sport of curling. Sport of curling was played outdoors for about 400 years.
So a lot like golf, then, you've got a target that you're aiming, you know, instead of the golf ball, you're aiming the stone at.
Exactly, and the target in curling, and for those of you who have seen it on TV, it looks like a bullseye. Well, that bullseye target's called the house. But the scoring in curling is kind of unique. It's not like archery where you get more points for being in the center. Okay, the scoring is like bocce ball. And then when I say that to most people,
they say, what's bocce ball?
Exactly. They say, what's bocce ball? And their eyes wrinkle up and they don't really know what's going on. But so maybe the next best analogy would be horseshoes. In curling, after you completed an end, and Debbie described an end is where each team slides 8 rocks towards this house. So after all 16 rocks are done and the end, or like an inning in baseball, is completed, the team that has the rock closest to the center of the house gets 1 point for each rock they have closer to the center than their opponent's nearest rock. And because of that scoring, if I was playing your team, Glenn, and you had 3 or 4 rocks in the house, that might not necessarily be bad. I might try to use a strategy to use those rocks against you where I nestle my own rocks in a position where it's harder for you to take them out, take my rock out, or get closer than me.
And you try to bump the opponent's rocks out, so that's...
Sometimes you bump them out, sometimes you bump them around, or you move them around, and this is where the chess aspect, and think of the, you know, you've got the different pieces in a
yeah.
chess game, you know, you got the pawn and the rook and the knight and all those different things. Curling's that way too, where you use different rocks like different pieces to create different strategies.
Where do the rocks come from?
All the curling rocks in the world come from either Scotland or Wales.
Why is that?
It's a very hard, dense granite that can take the pounding and banging of curling. And nobody's found any granite anywhere else.
Wait a minute. What about Marathon County red granite?
Well, that was tried some years ago with not much success, unfortunately. It's a beautiful granite, but doesn't make a very good curling stone. There's one existing stone that belongs to one of our club members, but the rest, unfortunately, met their demise breaking up on the ice, so they just didn't hold up.
They tried and it didn't work.
Didn't work, unfortunately.
So you've got to import these 42-pound stones or rocks from Scotland. they've got a little industry going there, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. They kind of have a monopoly on the curling rock industry. But I don't know, did they kind of have a monopoly on bagpipes for a while too, maybe?
Yeah, and the neat thing about curling too is each facility owns their own curling stone, so it's not like bowling where you need to bring your own bowling ball. You can use the facility's curling stone. So it's a pretty inexpensive sport to start playing.
What are the most difficult things that you have to do in the sport? What are the toughest things?
I would say the strategy, just learning the strategy. That's one thing that I love about the game, because an end and in a game, it's never the same thing. It's never the same scenario. It's always different. You know, you have to decide if you want to be defensive or offensive. You have to look at what end it is. You have to have goals and try to stick with those goals. If someone on your team happens to miss a shot, you might have to change your strategy. So strategy is the toughest thing to learn in curling, but like any sport with, you know, by playing it quite a bit, you learn it. And I think it's the most fun part of the sport.
And we were talking before the show, you were saying that the ice is different wherever you go. I wouldn't have even imagined that.
Yeah, it's unique too. Like ice conditions can be different, and ice conditions can change during the game as well. So, for instance, like a putting green, at least you can see how it curves and the hills and how it's going to roll, and you can kind of decide how hard to putt your ball. But in curling, it's ice, it's painted white, and you can't see it. So in competitions, we get about 7 minutes practice each team does before we start our game. And then during the game, we're watching our opponents, seeing where they're sliding out, if they're on target. And we have to remember in our mind where the ice, you know, falls or curls more.
You just used that word, curl. Now, why is the sport called curling?
Well, the curling stone, if you were to simply move the stone down the ice without any turn, meaning clockwise or counterclockwise, the stone would move in just a random pattern, and you really would not be able to control its trajectory. So putting a curl or a turn allows the stone to move to the right or the left, and you can control which direction it's going to go. That's where sweeping also helps. The sweeping effect, creating that thin layer of moisture on the ice temporarily through that friction process, allows the stone to run straighter. So you can not only carry the stone or allow the stone to move further with sweeping, you can also keep the stone running straighter rather than curling off.
So you put a spin on the stone? Is that what the curl is?
Correct.
So it's like kind of putting a spin on a bowling ball.
Kind of like putting a spin on a bowling ball, where you're either putting a clockwise or a counterclockwise turn, depending on what direction you want the stone to move. And very similar to a spin on a bowling ball or a throwing a curveball in baseball.
This has been called a gentleman's game. Cal Tillish?
Yes, or a gentleman's game or an etiquette sport.
And, of course, since we have the captain of the Olympic women's team here, we should call it a ladies and gentlemen's game.
Exactly. I think that would be better appropriate, yeah.
To distinguish it from, say, that other game that's played on ice hockey, not too many people who play curling have half their teeth missing.
That's true, but it's kind of unique because a little like golf, there are at the World Championships and the National Championships, there are some officials, but it's mostly a self-policing sport. Again, much like golf, where if somebody accidentally kicked their ball or whatever, they have to call the penalties on themselves. That's the way it works in curling. So if you accidentally touched a curling stone, for instance, that's called a burned or fouled rock, you're not allowed to touch that, and it could be just a very slight touch that nobody else saw, you have to call that on yourself. It's also a game where before the start of each game, you shake hands with your opponents. It doesn't matter if this is a local, just kind of fun league game, or this is Debbie curling in the Olympics or the national championships against a team that she desperately wants to beat. Okay. She spent the whole year training to get to that moment, and more than anything in the world, and believe me, she's a really nice person, but she's a fierce competitor. And you shake hands with that opponent and wish them good curling, and you go on to your match, and after the match you also shake hands with the opponent, and very frequently, or really part of the sport is to sit down and socialize with them after the game.
If you just joined us, we're talking about the sport of curling with Corey Sandquist and Cal Tillish of the Wausau Curling Club, and also Debbie McCormick, the captain of the U.S. Olympic women's curling team. She's here in Wausau to promote the sport and also to bring attention to a 40,000 square foot, $3 million world-class facility that could make Wausau the curling capital of the world. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. If you love the sport of curling, give us a call and tell us why. If you'd like to talk to Debbie McCormick, this is your chance. 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Mobrig. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio on the Ideas Network.
Support for WPR comes from Northwind Renewable Energy in Stevens Point, partnering with agricultural and commercial industries to invest in central Wisconsin's renewable energy future. More about the benefits of solar for business at northwindre.com.
We're talking about curling and a world-class curling facility that is being built in Wausau. 1-800-780-9742 if you'd like to join the conversation. Let's go to Berka in Wausau. Berka, you're on Route 51.
Hi, Cal and guests. I just thought we shouldn't forget that you were talking about the different age groups and so on that can enjoy curling. Remember Ort Anstead? He curled with the seniors, and I will never forget the morning when we seniors were curling. I was skipping a team against Ort, and he was skipping the opposite team. And darn it, they didn't beat us that day. And that was a day when I believe it was a reporter from the Bostonian magazine was there to record. I've got a copy of the article yet in my curling bag that he was celebrating his 100th birthday on that occasion and still sweeping the stones and delivering beautifully. And again, they beat us, and I've beat some pretty strong teams and curled against some world champs and with them. And it's just, you should mention again that any age can enjoy the sport. And another interesting thing about Ort, I asked him one of the secrets of his longevity, and he said, well, I eat a lot of honey. So I always enjoyed honey, and I bought a 5-gallon pail on one occasion, and I told him I'd share it with him, and I asked him, how many quarts do you want me to bring you, Art? And he said, well, at my age, I probably only better take two.
Berka,
but anyway,
thanks so much for the phone call. Let me give Cal Tillish here a chance to reiterate that this is indeed a sport for all ages.
We have literally, and currently, I mean, folks age 9 to 90 curling at the Curling Club, and he does mention Ort Anstead is legendary. The curling publications, I believe, did an article on him when he was about 96 or 97 years old. He was then described as the oldest, you know, active curler in the United States, and of course, then he went on to be 100. So it is truly something, you know, age 9 to 90, and people can participate, you know, and enjoy it their whole life.
Debbie McCormick, you're a three-time Olympian, right? 1998, 2002, 2010, world champion in 2003, world champion silver medal in 2006, seven times representing the USA at the World Championships. Are you like one of the big stars of curling? Is that is that safe to say? And if you're too modest, we'll let Cal Tillish, who's not.
Well, curling is a big part of my life. I honestly love the game. I love the people. I still love to go to the fun little bond spiels, you know, and meet people and play with friends. You know, it's just part of my life. I love to coach curling as well. I coached the Partyville High School boys team for 2 years. I would love to go back into that. I love sharing my experiences, teaching people how to curl, just so they can, you know, enjoy curling the way I do.
Are there curling stars? I mean, we think of Babe Ruth and Hank Aaron in baseball, Aaron Rodgers and Bart Starr in football, Michael Jordan in basketball. Are there stars in curling?
Yeah, like for instance, the Pete Fenson curling team won our only Olympic medal in the sport in 2006 Olympics. They won the bronze medal. So they're one of, you know, the great teams out there for men's. you know, I've been fortunate enough to play with some great athletes, and I've had the opportunity to play in a lot of world championships and win the world championships in 2003. So, you know, myself and my teammates are, you know, up there as well. But we put in a lot of time and commitment to the sport. We practice all the time. It's kind of our life. I mean, I guess if you could say if there's a professional curler out there, it'd be people like Pete Fenson team, Erica Brown, myself, Allison Pottinger, you know, Cassie Potter, all the teams that, you know, work day in and day out at the sport to represent the United States.
Are there professional curling teams? Like there are professional Major League Baseball teams and football teams? Or is that something that maybe hasn't happened yet, but it'll happen in the future?
Yeah, hopefully in the future. I mean, I think all of us, we play the sport because we love the sport and we want to, you know, spread the word about it and, you know, be our best at the sport. We don't make millions of dollars. We all have our day jobs. I have a curling equipment and supplies company called Goldline Mobile Pro Shop. It's actually a mobile curling store. So that's one of the reasons I'm here in Wausau as well, selling my stuff out of my store. So we all have jobs. A lot of us have families. You can still curl when you have children. My Olympic team, three of my teammates have children. So, you know, it's a big commitment. You definitely need positive, you know, support by your friends and family. So, no, we don't make millions of dollars on it, off of it. Unfortunately, we do try to get sponsors. We are funded by the U.S. Olympic Committee, which definitely helps. But we do, you know, put in a lot of our own money into the sport, but it's because we love it.
Where do the Olympic trials take place right now?
The next Olympic trials will be in Fargo, North Dakota at the Shields Center. They'll be in November of 2013, and it's going to be tough. There's only going to be four teams competing for one spot for the Olympics, so we have to qualify for that first as well.
And how soon before we bring them to Wausau in this 40,000-square-foot facility you're building, Cal Tillich?
The next one down the line. I mean, obviously the Olympics are every 4 years. We don't have the facility open and ready to go early enough, but our goal will absolutely to bring the next Olympic trials here to Wausau.
Corey Sandquist.
We were approached for these Olympic trials, and with the logistics of everything going on, we just weren't able to go with it. But I did want to mention that Debbie is very humble, but we have a star of curling right here, and we appreciate her coming to Wausau and working with our high school kids. She spent two days working, teaching, some real important concepts to the high school program, 150 kids between the three high schools and truly a great event.
And again, if you want to contribute to this project, there are a couple of places where you can go. WausauCurling.org is the Wausau Curling Club website. And then the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin is where they're taking donations. CFONCW.org. That's CFONCW.org. Hey, guys, thanks so much. We're out of time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn.
It's been a lot of fun. We want to thank today's guests, Corey Sandquist and Cal Tillich of the Wausau Curling Club, and our special guest, Debbie McCormick, three-time Olympic world champion, captain of the U.S. Women's Olympic Curling Team. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producers, Jane Ritger and Crystal Bennis. Thanks, as always, to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Next Thursday on Route 51, it's back to politics as we look at the controversy surrounding Wisconsin's new voter ID law and the petition drive to recall Governor Walker. We will have a liberal voice and a conservative voice, and hopefully your voice added to the mix next Thursday at 5 on Route 51. I'm Glenn Mobrick. Thanks again for riding along with us today. Forward, as we say in Wisconsin. Until next week, we are heading out of town.